It's Psalms chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto my voice. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning, especially our visitors. I see that we have a number, and so glad that you're here. And we want to invite you back at any opportunity that you may have to be with us. We started last Sunday evening a short series. There are only a couple more left, but on how to handle certain things. And we want to look at different passages of the Bible within our study and it's in this series to help us deal with things that are thrown at us throughout the course of our lives. In Psalm 5, what we have is a psalm of David in a time when he is greatly discouraged. And this is basically David telling us how to handle discouragement and how he made it through. And Mike read for us the first four verses. I want us to go ahead and read the rest of this particular psalm. So let's begin, let's pick up in verse 5, and let's read the rest of this psalm, and then we'll have some things, some thoughts to say about it. Beginning of verse 5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them that ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Have you ever been discouraged? I mean, to a point, not necessarily talking about depression right now, but just down and out. You know, we're talking about, things are just not going the way that we saw them going, really. Not going as planned. They're not due. Things are just seem to be piling up on one another, and we're just discouraged about whatever life may be bringing us at this time. Friends, this is where David finds himself now. This is most likely, this psalm was written most likely during the time of Saul chasing after him. And you can imagine how David must have been discouraged. I mean, he knew that he was to be king one day, but he was not going to lift a hand against the Lord's anointed. And yet here comes Saul time and time and time again wanting to kill David. And David doesn't know where else to go. He's got to be tired. At some points, I'm sure that he's probably hungry. Know that he is, because did he not, as he's fleeing from Saul at one point, go into the place with the priest and ask for bread? He did. David's discouraged. But here in Psalm 5, he tells us how to deal with it. Look with me to begin with in verses 1 through 3. David tells us, when we get discouraged, call upon the Lord. Call upon God. Friends, notice the increased intensity of his language. Just look here. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. He says, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee and will look up. You hear the intensity almost in His voice. Give ear to my words, He says. He's crying out unto the Lord, consider my groaning, give heed to the voice of my cry, David says. And note that this doesn't seem to be a short prayer, if you will. This doesn't seem to be one very short duration. He says, in the morning, will you hear my prayer? So, he's not going to wait, for one thing, to take this unto God. And two, it's going to be a prayer until he knows that he's being heard. And you know how specific he is. He's direct. He is directing this to God. Look at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Verse 2, my King and my God. Verse 3, O Lord. We know to whom he's praying. We know who he's directing it to. And so he's very specific in his prayer. And he tells God his heart's thoughts. And then look at his expectation. The end of verse 3. I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Friends, how often is it that we pray? And I would dare say that each of us probably prays every day as we ought to. We ought to pray without ceasing. It ought to be a part of our lives. It ought to be a part of who we are. A praying people. But how often do we pray without really any expectation? Notice what David says. I will pray unto thee. Verse 2, unto thee will I pray. Verse 3, I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Does David expect God to answer his prayer? You better believe it. He expects God to hear his prayer, and he expects God to answer his prayer. He prays with expectation of God. And friends, we ought to do the same. We ought to know that God is going to hear our prayer. We ought to know that God is going to answer our prayer. But keep a mark there in Psalm 5. And turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And read with me verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Look what Paul writes here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then look at the end of the verse. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice that he uses the word supplication twice. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He's talking about fervency here as well as persistence. But then also praying with expectation. Knowing that God will hear and that He will answer. Friends, we ought to do the same. If we're going to handle discouragement in our lives, we need to call upon the Lord. Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Again, watching, looking for God's answer to our prayer. Friends, as we pray, and as we ought to be a praying people, let us pray knowing that God will answer those prayers. Number 2, when we're discouraged, call upon the Lord. But then number 2, examine character. Three characters we've got to examine as far as the character of someone or something. And we see this in verses 4 through 10. First of all, you look at the character of God. And in verses 4 through 10, we see that God has no pleasure in wickedness. no pleasure in wickedness. He's not going to look favorably upon those that abide in sin. He will not be found in the company of evil. Friends, let that be a lesson to us as well. If God is not found in the company of evil, then where should I not be found? I should not be found in that company. I should not be surrounding myself with those that are of that persuasion, so to speak. He will not tolerate the boastful. He despises all those who work iniquity. David tells us that God will destroy all those that are liars. And he tells us that God abhors those that murder and deceive. God wants nothing to do with it. What would you say then of God's character? Is he not righteous? Is he not one, friend, that isn't going to have anything whatsoever to do with evil? Isn't that what David tells us? And so as we examine God's character, we know that he is going to do right. As we examine God's character, we know how he then is going to deal with those that follow him. And as we examine God's character again, we know that he's going to answer our prayers. But then we have to examine our own character, don't we? Doesn't the Bible tell us in principle here, but also throughout the Old Testament into the New? As a matter of fact, James tells us in James chapter 1 that we need to examine ourselves. Paul tells the Corinthians to examine themselves. Friends, we must examine our character. And how do we stack against the Word of God? As we look, as James puts it, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, and we're looking into this mirror as God has placed before us, what do we find? And friend, if we find, as we find these imperfections, what do we do about them? Do we go as the man described by James goes and forget what manner of man we see in that mirror, friend, or do we make the necessary corrections? We have to examine our own character. David says that I will recognize and appreciate God's mercy. Friends, if anyone should know of God's mercy, would it not be David? You think of all the things that befell David in his life and how merciful God was to him. How God took care of him. And particularly during this time as Saul is chasing him around the countryside. And then David says, I will worship God in respect and reverence. Friends, as we have gathered together here this morning, with what kind of mindset have we come? Have we come with the mindset that I'm here to worship God, or have I come with the mindset, what can God give me? David tells us clearly where our thoughts need to be. Our thoughts need to be centered upon God. And we must understand that as we come to worship, they're just not for us. Now, do we gain something from being here this morning? I hope so. That we will be spiritually uplifted and spiritually strengthened to be able to go through our week, to be able to face the world and all the darts that Satan will throw our way. But understand, friend, that our worship here this morning is not for me and it's not for you. We're here for God Almighty. We're here to sing praises unto His name. We're here to approach His throne in worship. And friend, our mind needs to be upon Him, and we need to have this mindset of David, that we will worship God, we will approach His throne with respect and reverence. Have we done that this morning? But then David also, he examines the character of God, he examines the character of himself, but then he He looks at the character of his enemy. You know, oftentimes we get discouraged because there are those that speak out against us. There are those that want to spread rumors. There are those that want to bring us down any way they possibly can, right? And we get discouraged by that. Again, you think of David being chased around the countryside by Saul. Do you not think that he was discouraged? He's trying to do everything right in the sight of Saul, trying to give Saul any reason whatsoever to let him live, and Saul's having none of it. He's discouraged. But one of the things that helps David, as we see here, and as he calls attention to his enemies, he examines their character. Friends, we have to remember that when the world is trying to tear us down, when the world is trying to cut your legs out from under you, we have to consider the character of the world. The world, friends, is full of liars and covenant breakers. The world is full of those that are rotten to the core. The world is full of those, as David puts it here, whose throats are open sepulchers, they're open graves. Friends, you have to beware of that trap. Don't fall into it. The world is full of those that will flatter you to your face and then stick a knife between your ribs. The world is full of those that are self-destructive. And then finally, David says very plainly, they are rebellious. And notice, friend, though, and again, you think of how Saul is running David all over the place. Does David ever lift a hand against Saul? How many times could he have killed Saul? Several. I can think of two off the top of my head. Once in the cave where he cut off a part of Saul's cloak. And another time when Saul was sleeping in the midst of his camp and David and a couple of his mighty men went into the midst of the camp and took the cruse of water off of Saul's spear. David could have killed him several times. But who does he call upon to deal with his enemies? He lets God handle it, doesn't he? You know, oftentimes, as those that strike out against us, as they talk and talk and talk and talk, what is our first reaction? A lot of times it's to talk back, isn't it? It's to try to get back at them. But what does David do here? Look at verse 10. He's going to let God handle it. Look what he says. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. David's going to let God handle this matter. And friends, we ought to do the same. The world is against those that would follow Christ. But let's let God handle it. And then finally, as David tells us here, when we're discouraged, we've got to have faith in the covenant of God and in His promises. Read with me again verses 11 and 12. Look what David says, and pay special attention to what he says here in these two verses. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou hast defended them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. For Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. Friends, no matter what the world may throw at us, no matter what this life may bring upon us, David suffered a great deal at the hands of Saul, and yet, where did he put his trust? In God. He was very discouraged at different times in his life, and yet where do we find him putting his trust? And David says, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because you protect them. Because you protect them. Friends, when we have faith in God's covenant, when we have faith in His promises, it'll bring joy to our hearts again. And understand that God will protect and provide. Thou wilt thou compass him as with a shield. We'll be able to stand behind God's protection. And He will provide for those that follow Him. God will bless the righteous, David says, and His favor will be as that shield round about us. Friends, so long as we trust in God, is there anything the world can throw at us that's too great to handle? So long as we remain faithful unto Him and we worship Him as we ought to, and we do those things that He has prescribed for us to do in His Word, and we trust in Him, God says He will take care of us. Now, does that mean that there's not going to be things that befall us? That's not what that means. Things befell David, didn't they? Bad things happened to David. Now, some of those, of course, we know David brought upon himself. But friends, there are bad things that happen to good people. There are bad things that happen to Christians. So what does this mean that God will compass us about as a shield? Friends, it means so long as we trust in Him, He's going to see us through. Even if it means our lives, are you willing, friend, to give your life for the God of heaven? And if that's the case, friend, He has a reward waiting for you. That's the God of heaven. And that's how David fought through discouragement. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, as David did in the midst of this particular psalm, I'm going to ask you this morning to examine yourself. As you look into the perfect law of liberty, as you look into the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do you see? You see a man that was also God, willing to give his life for all of mankind. Paul writes to the Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friend, if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you haven't really looked into this gospel, this perfect law of liberty, this mirror, if you will, that God has given us, would you consider studying with someone? Or studying for yourself? Open this book. See what it has to say about life. Not only this life, but the next. And friends, you're going to see there that we serve a loving God. You're going to see that we serve a God, friend, that is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to be saved. So friend, if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not this morning put Christ on in baptism? Why not this morning, through being baptized, come in contact with His blood to arise again to walk in newness of life, having your sins washed away, removed from you as far as the east is from the west, and as God says, as the psalmist tells us, cast into the depths of the sea. Would you do that this morning? Friend, if you're here and you have obeyed the gospel, but you're not at this time in a right relationship with God, would you come home? Friend, if you have been discouraged, or maybe even are discouraged now, would you call upon the name of the Lord? Would you go to Him in prayer? Would you examine and realize the character of God, examining yourself, remembering who the world is and what it is? But then, friend, restore your faith in the promises and the covenant of God. For friend, if you become a Christian this morning, you'll enter into that covenant relationship with God. And if you have entered into that covenant relationship with God, friend, and you've broken it, you have an opportunity now to come home and be His again. Friend, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.